Welcome to Tip TV Finance, where I'm joined by my co-host Alessio Ristani from LeadingTrader.com and by our very special guest, Paul Wallace from the London Traders Network. How are you today, Paul?
Very well. Good morning, gentlemen.
All right. Paul, as I mentioned to you yesterday at the last event that you staged as part of your network, I have looked up to the way you do your presentations and your slides, and I've tried to copy that over the weekend at another event. And you've used that as part of today's presentation.
I have indeed, Zach. I am suitably honoured that you would think my presentations are anything to be
memorable. They
memorable.
Are very memorable.
Most people fall asleep, so I'm impressed that you stay awake and actually enjoy them.
Oh, right.
So,
well, let's have a look. Let's see if we can build. It lives up to the hype.
So we thought we'd talk about the psychology of trading. Okay, I know probably everyone today is talking about all the market moves from last night, but we'll talk about the psychology of trading. And for those who are new to trading, they probably haven't realised how important psychology of trading is and how, if they have not gone through any kind of reflection or, working on their inner game, then the easy part is to sort of justify or rationalise their behaviour. Mm. And the thing we all have to learn, and it doesn't matter how long you've been trading for, is that, as is represented by this pogo cartoon of, we have met the enemy and he is us. And we are our own worst enemies when it comes to trading.
So basically, it's not actually the knowledge of the markets, pound dollar, and where what markets to trade if we're risk on or risk off, that you can get that in a few months.
Exactly.
But the psychology is actually the real thing, the real education that is required in the markets.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on.
Paul, can you give us some examples? Can you give viewers some examples of the type of actions or thoughts, decisions that traders can make, which would exemplify, demonstrate why we're our own enemy?
Yeah, it's a good question, and a few of the slides I'll
sure,
add in a
sure.
piece there and stuff. But just invariably that if you're trading off a laptop or a screen, people don't realise that it actually becomes a mirror, all right, and it just really reflects back yourself, all of your hopes, all of your dreams, all of the good, the bad, and the ugly of your own personality.
Right.
And if you're not ready for that, if you're not sort of able to raise your awareness to understand that, well, then actually it can lead to some rather detrimental behaviour, which we'll maybe touch upon in the last but one slide.
Okay, next up, we've got, this is part of my presentation last weekend, two heroes of the financial markets.
Yeah, indeed.
Calling the left one a hero. Sorry, Paul. Sorry.
Well, Zach has always had his own special way.
I think a lot of young traders, male young traders, who model themselves or did model themselves on Gordon Gekko.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. That's a fair point.
Yeah, rightly or wrongly. I suppose it's linking into the kind of, let's say, these underlying themes when we look at the psychology of trading. And when you look at those two and ask, what do these men have in common? Well, the thing they have in common is greed, all right?
Ah, right.
And greed is the thing that drives. People don't think of Buffett as a greedy man. But actually, he's in his own way, in his own way of operating, he's an enormously greedy man. And
he's greedy, according to his own words, when everyone is fearful.
Exactly. Mm. That's a great, it's a great quote of his.
Whereas Gordon Gekko, greed is good.
Greed
is
good.
Same thing. So that's what I'm saying. The psychology there is quite, you wouldn't link these two people at all. You'd say they're actually totally opposite. But in fact, they're just the same.
Yeah, exactly.
And, they're both very successful.
And we all have an element of it, of that greed within us. We may not like to think it. We may like to sort of, poo-poo it or no, but actually we are. We do have that as part of our makeup, and you need to recognise and understand that. And being able to recognise when you are being greedy is probably one of the...
Do you think there's a link emotionally between greed and the fear of missing out? It's called FOMO.
FOMO. You are indeed, unless you're one step ahead of me, but invariably greed you might just term as the fear of missing out. It's all about fear, which is the next slide, that we have up here. So this is the French army bayonet charge. How do we know it's the French army? Because the enemy is that way. So, but anyway, the reason driven by that is because it's all to do with fear. All right, fear. We've got greed on one side of the coin and fear on the other, and invariably, greed is just a version of is the fear of missing out, and we all have that. I talk about how people are either a greed-based trader or a fear-based trader. I know myself. I am a fear-based trader.
Yes,
and part of that is about knowing what your makeup is and then basically having been able to trade in line with that personality.
I thought when you put the slide, I thought you were going to say the quote from Sun Tzu, which was, you can't win every battle, but you'll win the war.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's think of trade actually almost as like a skirmish, you know, in military sense, it's a skirmish. You know, you can lose skirmishes, you know, and still win the battle, all right? And you can lose battles, but still win the war, all right? It's, you know, it should never be that your whole trading career is balanced on one trade.
Exactly.
If it is, then, you know,
I thought you were going to say these are retail investors. That's what I was, you know, the cannon fodder thing, you know.
those could be always. I couldn't possibly.
Oh, okay. That. All right. Okay. Just checking. Okay. Next up.
So here we have is one element. So one is a market commentator, trader, renowned author, and international playboy, and the other is, and the other is George Soros. And so this is
he's got the hair though.
This is he has
irritating.
He's got, you know, it's and so this is about another element, which is hope. Now. Hope isn't necessarily a good strategy for long-term trading and investing, but, you know, I know Zach has been operating in a way, you know, he's had trades a little bit like Soros has traded.
Well, no, actually, I was going to say, because I mean, this was something I actually only realised quite recently. In 1992, Soros made $1 billion betting against the pound. I was a young man then, and I just thought, I really wanted to... how do you emulate this man? How do you copy this man? What do you have to do that? I mean, you do have to have the software, the machinery, a great network of, you know, whatever it is, knowledge, whatever. What is it? How do you do it? Mm-hmm. Then, I think it was in 2014, I love trading dollar yen, read in the FT that Abe was going to, you know, get re-elected and he's going to try and weaken the yen. So I took the trade on at 80 yen. And stayed in it for 6 yen. It's like 4 to 6 week trade. I've never done that before. I just shut, you know, I mean, I should have stayed there even longer than that because it's much higher now. Then like a week later after I got out, it was revealed that Soros had got into the yen at exactly the same point and done that trade. So the same trade from 80 to 90, let's say. He made $1 billion again.
Yeah.
So it was sort of, that's what we have in common. Obviously, I didn't quite make that amount of money.
I think the world and his wife was on that yen trade. I myself was on it, yeah. In Swiss yen and dollar yen. But, you know, my plan was in and out at like about 3R, all right, trade, and it was perfect, hit my...
But the point is that you don't have to be, you don't have to be that famous person. You don't have to be, the little guy can also... you know, trade and make money in the same way.
Exactly. That's the element of the hope in terms of, you know, if people like that can invest and trade, then we all can. It's not some rocket science that people like to.
And of course, for people who are old enough to remember, Soros was the guy who crashed the pound back in the early 90s, right? Was it Black Friday, Black Monday?
I can't. I thought it was Black Wednesday.
But at the same time, actually, the final part of that is also he bet against Trump in November. He lost he lost $1 billion on that. I actually made money. On the night that Trump got elected, I went short of the market, out, and you know, I knew the market was going to be bullish,
right.
But I did actually get it right, and he got it wrong.
So anybody
can, with a bit of thinking, a bit of logic, you know, get the markets right in that way.
My understanding is his hit rate's about 10%.
Yeah,
his hit rate's about 10%, but his reward to risk is normally 10 to 20 plus, and that's how he does it. So
next slide.
And this one is expectation versus reality. All right, so you know, I know you're keen.
This ties in with the international playboy from the last.
Of course, this is user. Normally, you know, you'd be here, Zach. You know, front and center, watching Roger Federer ply his trade. All right, and if you've ever watched the man, you know, in his, you know, it doesn't matter when you watch him on court. All right, his psychology is fantastic. You don't know whether he was having like a knockabout with his kid in the park or playing for match point in the
He's got four championship points against him. Yeah. And he's there's no double fault, there's nothing, just absolutely cool. I do not know how he does it.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. That is talent.
There's an actual, I'm glad you brought sports into this because Bruce Lee, you know, famous champion of martial arts, there's a very nice quote from him, which I love. He said that, don't try and anticipate the outcome, whether it's going to be a win or lose, but simply apply your tools and your knowledge, and essentially time will take care of itself. Everything else will take care of itself. Everything will come together, which I think is a very good one. Going to your expectation point, a lot of people anticipate or expect every trade they put on to be a winner or have an outcome.
Yes.
And when things don't work out the way it wants, oh, they get depressed. Or they get, they give up, or they switch to something else.
Exactly. They're attached to the outcome.
Yeah.
And they attach their self-worth to the outcome of the trade. So when their P&L is up, they're up. When the P&L is down, they're down. They're on an emotional roller coaster, and that's not.
Who's the lady on the right, and what's she?
Well, the sort of the just quick final point is people, new traders come to the market thinking they are like Roger Federer, some cool-headed, intuitive trader, right, which actually takes probably about 10 years in reality. And so on the flip side, I know Zach's a big fan of Lana Del Rey. And Zach, what's your favourite Lana Del Rey song?
Born to Die.
Born to Die. And that is actually probably what's closer to the truth for most new private traders, that they are born to die. And the reason I don't say that with any harshness is because I don't think we are actually hardwired to be natural traders. I've worked with hundreds, perhaps thousands of traders, but I've actually only met very few who I would consider to be natural traders.
So losing is a normal thing to happen.
Losing is a normal thing to happen, but we hate it.
It's perfectly...
We hate it. But the majority of traders who I've worked with who've done well for themselves, it's come through work. It's come through hard inner work.
Yes.
Most of it has come through behavior modification of some form or another. And the reality is if you're not prepared to go through that behavior modification, whatever's required for the individual, then you are like Lana, born to die.
Okay, next and final slide.
And the final slide is, as always, if people want to discuss that with me or, if they want to, disagree, then, I run the London Traders Network. So we had the last one last night. I don't know why that's changed, but the next one will be July. All right, July. And come along. All right. It's, what you see is what you get. Come have a beer and a chat with other traders.
Well, the date there is from March. What's the next
date? Yeah, the next one will be the third one. I think it's the 19th of July. That should have been, can't get the staff these days. And it'll be, I think, 19th of July. It's normally like the third Wednesday of every second month.
Alessio, Paul, thank you very much. I hope people got some fresh insight into their trading from this session.
You're welcome, guys.
It was great.